Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Should I allow Hunter to give his opening statement first?
Well, doesn't appear Mr. Biden showed up for his public hearing, so we'll recognize you, Mr. Pawlinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
These people are hilarious. But you ask for a public hearing and then you don't show up to the public hearing. That's a thing. Tony Katz today. What are you doing? How you been? You look great. You losing weight? No, not you. The person behind you. You need a sit-up. 833-GOT-TONY. That's the number. 833-468-8669. That's right. I just told somebody they need a sit-up. Me. It's funny because it's ironic. So there are these hearings. They're going on right now. This is all about Hunter Biden. The Biden family business. Everything they're doing. Everything that's happening. Hunter Biden, he showed up when they were having some hearings, but he wouldn't talk to anybody, right? He wasn't going to chat with anybody. He wasn't going to let you know what was going on. And then he's like, why don't we have some public hearings? So, okay, here are the public hearings. And there's Tony Bobulinski, who's a longtime business partner of Hunter's and some other people. And Bobulinski is being very clear. Hunter lied. Joe Biden lied. I mean, this is going on right now.
And he was connected with the CCP. They were having trouble getting licensed to work because, of course, the CCP has to get permission for that. Until Hunter flew over on Air Force Two with Vice President Joe Biden at the time. They met with Jonathan Lee. Hunter introduced him. Joe ended up writing a letter of recommendation to Jonathan Lee's daughter to get into college. And then we see that this relationship continues to be formed.
So the conversation here, you know, are the Republicans going to be able to prove that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were engaged in something nefarious? I don't know if they're going to be able to prove it to a point of impeachment. But let's be clear about what we're clear about. That every time Congressman Jamie Raskin or somebody else says, this is ridiculous, there's no there, that's not true. There's a myriad of examples of people, and you can argue from both sides of the aisle, but I mean, for this especially, I'll get into it with the left, unwilling to admit, yeah, our guy screwed up. Yeah, our guy blanked up. Yeah, our guy is a problem guy. I have met many Republicans in my day. Now, I'm a conservative, not a Republican. There's a difference, and the difference is probably that I have standards. Oh, was it too soon? No? Yes? Save the emails. If you want to email me, Tony at TonyKatz.com, you're more than welcome to. I have met Republicans who are awful. I have. I have met conservatives who are anything but awful, awful, terrible. And we have seen without question, Republicans who have done many a thing wrong. We've said so out loud. We've been unafraid to say so. Are you telling me that no Democrat has ever done anything wrong ever? The last guy to do something wrong was Al Franken. Took a picture, allegedly groping, Leanna Tweeden? Actress? And he had to resign for that, which he regrets, by the way. Oh, and the Democratic Party would welcome him back with open arms. The last Democrat I've ever seen them say, yeah, he did something wrong. But he got wrapped up in the whole Me Too thing. You know, what were you going to do? What were you going to do? It was the Me Too movement. It was the it was just the time and the season and all that jazz. Why can't we admit the fact that it seems obvious on a very, very basic level? First, that Hunter Biden only ever got paid because his last name was Biden. Now, one could argue that happens in some rich guy families, in some powerful families. You won't get people, many people to disagree, but let's start with a basic tenet, a basic premise here, which is Hunter Biden has zero skills. None. Hunter Biden is not smart. Hunter Biden is not entrepreneurial. Hunter Biden provides nothing to the table except for his last name. That's honest. Honest is good. Honest is valuable. Honest builds character. And that's the honest assessment. He is not a man who is bright. He is not a man of talent. His brother may have been. Beau may have been. And I will tell you that every time Joe Biden talks about Beau Biden, his son died of brain cancer, I think that's the way he feels. That here was Beau with all of this talent and all of this promise and all of this capability, and he's got Hunter. Now, you say to me, Tony, that's disgusting. I will tell you that that's what it looks like in my view. It's so Godfather in a way that here is this son that is talented and well-liked and amenable and has a future. And then this horrible thing happens to him. And what is Joe Biden left with?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
He's left with that. And I think that there are a lot of people who refuse to admit that because they don't want to somehow insult the president. But that's not honest. Honesty must come first. I have no right to tell anybody else to do a sit-up, and Hunter Biden is a screw-up. This is honest. But this hearing is about, well, what was Hunter Biden doing? It is obvious that Hunter Biden was selling the family name and access to Joe Biden for money. Well, how much, what was it, $80,000 a month from Burisma? It's been a while. Double check that, producer Jason. $80,000 a month from Burisma? An energy company where Hunter Biden has no knowledge about energy. He had served on you know, doing work with Amtrak. His knowledge base of Amtrak was his dad coming home and telling him choo-choo stories. He had nothing there either. The only reason he was on that board was because of his father. Now, you found $50,000, producer Jason. I'm pretty sure it was more than that. But even if we were to call it $50,000, you've got a last name, you're getting a $50,000 job. Okay. All right. You know what? That has happened. That has absolutely happened. But rarely does it happen in Ukraine. You and I are both stunned with the amount of things that come back to Ukraine and the amount of money that's being made off of Ukraine. I got Nancy Pelosi's kid making money in Ukraine. I think Mitt Romney's kid is making money in Ukraine. No one told me. No one told me at all. I would have named my youngest some variation of Vladimir, whatever you want to, however you want to spell it. And I would have said, get over there, bring back the cash. Don't forget, 10% for the big guy. 10% for the big guy is an incredible line, which of course comes from text messages and emails regarding Hunter Biden's work, whether it be in Ukraine or in China. If Hunter Biden had gone to work for some XYZ Corp in Delaware, nobody would be having a conversation. Even if he was making $50,000 a month, we'd be like, well, son of a vice president, is what is. What are you going to do? And people would have moved on with their day. Nothing would have come of it. He made his money off of Ukraine and off of China. A great many things come of it. 10% for the big guy. What does that mean? The problem with that line, the problem with that statement is that you don't have to be anybody special. You don't need any background information. You know exactly what that means.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Yes, you do. The minute you hear 10% for the big guy, you know two things. Joe Biden's the big guy. When you're dealing with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden is the big guy, and 10% is a kickback or a payoff. You don't need to have a college degree. You don't need to have any level of higher education. You and me are sitting on a bar stool. Two guys are standing on a street corner. Three guys are hanging out in the living room. And someone says 10% for the big guy. Everybody knows it's a payoff. Everybody knows that there's a deal that wouldn't happen if not for the big guy. And if you were to ask 100 people, hey, Hunter Biden references 10% for the big guy. Who do you think the big guy is? If you asked 100 people who the big guy is, 103 people would tell you it's Joe Biden. We know it. And the problem that the progressive left has, as Dan Goldman, a congressman, Democrat from New York, was just asking questions of Tony Bobulinski, who's Hunter Biden's business partner, former business partner. The problem that they have is that we know that they are full of it. We know exactly what it is. We come from different walks of life. We come from different places. You may have been born in Indiana or Oklahoma or Georgia or Michigan, Missouri. I was born in Brooklyn. Being born in Brooklyn did not give me a secret knowledge, no matter what New Yorkers tell you. It did give me access to better bagels. That much is true. But we grew up in different lifestyles. You grew up Christian, possibly Protestant, maybe Catholic, maybe with no religion. You were brought up in a Baptist church. I was brought up a Jewish kid in New Jersey. We could not have come up in this world more different. It could not have happened. How is it possible that all of us know that when we hear 10% for the big guy, it's a payoff and the big guy is Joe Biden? How do we know that? How do we know that immediately without even having to have any other background information? This is what the political left is fighting against. They have to fight against what we naturally know to be true. Now, the Republicans have a different fight. Do they have enough data, enough information to be able to get to a place of saying, we're going to impeach Joe Biden? I would argue, after a lot of deliberation with myself and watching this take place, they want to. They've got basically like a two-person majority in the House, and they haven't stopped this. They want to. They have data. They have information. They know they can hurt Joe Biden with this. They think politically that's a valuable thing to do, and they're not wrong. But if they had just one more piece, one more bit of connectivity, one more aha moment, one more clear as day moment, a video, a phone call, and anything, they would do it. That's where I think that they're at. But even without the impeachment, you just know that Hunter was into some shady stuff. And Joe wasn't at arm's length, did discuss his son's overseas business dealings, and was right there with him. Doesn't matter where you're from. You and I both know that's true. We know it's true. And this is what the Democrats cannot stand. They cannot stand that we know the truth and that they cannot control the narrative. I'm Tony Katz. Charges are dropped. This against Stephen Nkui. You know the name, but you're just not sure why you know the name. Tony Katz, Tony Katz Today. Find everything going on at TonyKatz.com. Stephen Nkui is a Gold Star dad whose son was killed in the airport bombing in Kabul in 2021. We're talking about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The horrific, shameful, garbage withdrawal from Afghanistan that somehow politicos want to tell me, well, look, these things happen, and there was just no way to predict how bad this was going to be. Did you hear Senator Chris Murphy, beta male, Connecticut, on this subject? I mean, mind-boggling here in his conversation with Wolf Blitzer.
So, Senator, what responsibility do you think the Biden administration bears for what happened?
So, I think it is absolutely unrealistic to believe that in the face of the unplanned, unanticipated overnight collapse of the Afghan government and the Afghan military, that we were going to be able to withdraw American forces, American personnel, and friends of America in an orderly manner.
You set up the plan. The Biden administration, I should say, set up the plan. They could have waited 2 days. They set up the plan, and it turns out the defense and state didn't talk to each other. They set up the plan and left the hardware. They set up the plan and closed the other airports. They set up the plan and allowed thousands to assemble around the airport, desperate to get on a plane. There was plenty that they had control of, and they didn't do it because of incompetence. These parents of those who were killed, the 13 service members that were killed in the suicide bombing, they're infuriated, right? First Biden, he's there when the bodies come back and he's looking at his watch. And now we're told, well, it was unavoidable. It was totally avoidable. Look, it's war and bad things happen. That much is true. This was incompetence, not the enemy. So there's Steve Nkui, and how you know the name, was the State of the Union. He was the guy yelling from the balcony, yelling about the Marines. And he was arrested. People interrupted here and there and everywhere, but he got arrested and charged by Capitol Police. Those charges have now been dropped. And rightfully so. Rightfully so, because Stephen Nkui, father of Lance Corporal Kareem Nkui, should not have been charged at all. Now, I will say to you, I don't like the shouting out. I don't like the yelling at the State of the Union at all. We're not the British people. But I also don't like a State of the Union that becomes this, well, campaign event. If this is what we're going to do, let us stop doing it. The State of the Union was never meant to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. Just say, hey, President Biden, we want a handwritten note. How's everything going? Just report back. Have a nice day. We don't need the pomp. We don't need the circumstance. We don't need the show. And certainly not if the Republican Party is going to still be completely incompetent in how to give a response. I see what you tried to do with Katie Britt there. I've never discussed it. It didn't work. I see what you tried to do, though. Maybe, you know, hire some Hollywood conservatives. Oh, yeah, they're out there. And you could actually produce something that would be worth watching. This is Tony Katz Today. So is the Fed going to make any moves? That's our question. Will the Federal Reserve lower rates? I am hard-pressed to think that they will. The idea that the Fed is going to say, everything's going peachy, let's bring things down 0.25%, 0.5%. I just don't see that. Tony Katz today. 833, got Tony. 833-468-8669. We are supposed to hear today what's going on. We're supposed to hear today what it is that might happen. There's nothing that shows a rate reduction because the numbers don't connect. Give you two numbers, something to consider, something to think about. The first is the amount of credit card debt. The amount of credit card debt in the United States last quarter, so the end of 2023, $1.13 trillion. Kids, I don't know much, but I know I love you, and that's a whole big bunch of debt. That's a problem. That's an issue. $1.13 trillion. That's a lot of money. But it ties into another story. Credit scores for the first time in a decade went down. Now, admittedly, it's only a point. 718 was the average credit score in the United States, gone down to 717. And you say to me, Tony, you really having a conversation about a point? I'm having a conversation about a possible Vesuvius. I don't know, would it be an eruption or would it be an implosion? Eruption's a better song, but implosion might be a more accurate conversation. You have $1.13 trillion worth of debt, and you have credit scores going down. Why? Because people are utilizing more of their debt. They're creating more of a ratio, more used debt, trying to attract more debt, trying to apply for more debt, which means scores go down. Why are they doing this? Because they cannot afford their daily lives. The inflation is too high. The inflation is too damaging and damning. Everything costs too much. There isn't enough expendable income. So you go to the credit line. I can tie this into a story we did last week from the Wall Street Journal. The utilization of 401ks as cash machines. And you say to yourself, say what now? Say what? You have people who are looking at their 401k saying, I'll take some from there. Thank you. I'll take a little bit of cash from there. Why? Because everyday life is too expensive. All I'm doing is presenting reality. I'm not embellishing at all. Here's what's happening. And there's only one reason. And the reason is everything's too expensive. The inflation is too brutal. Yet every place you look, this administration wants to tell you that everything is terrific. Everything's fine. As a matter of fact, every time you bring up inflation, clearly the answer is you're a racist. Like, that's where they're going. This was Jared Bernstein, he's the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Listen.
I would recommend that folks go out there and poll people who are in the area of these investments and see what they think about them. Because when we get down, we drill down into these granular questions about what do you think about the components of Bidenomics, lower broadband costs, lower costs of prescription drugs, standing up domestic production, not just in semiconductors, but in electric vehicles, electric batteries. These things pull in the 80-85% range. So let's ask folks about directly what we're doing before we conclude they're unhappy with the agenda.
That's nuts. You see, people need to be asked directly how great they think things are, because your questions, oh, that's all confusing and people get scared. Why, the reality is that it's just too expensive. And the housing is too expensive. And the gas is too expensive. And you can argue that gas prices have come down a bit. I'm very, very happy about this. I don't need high gas prices to take Joe Biden out of office, all right, to not vote for him. I always found that to be the strangest, weirdest thing. No, you don't want gas prices to go down now. You want it to happen after the election, because that way it's good for our guy. What the hell are you talking about? I got to get to work. Well, then again, maybe it wouldn't be a problem if you were driving an electric vehicle. Oh, I'll get into the electric vehicle thing, don't you? I promise I'll get into that. People don't feel good about the economy, not because they're not being asked the right questions, but because they don't feel good about it because it's costing them more. So right now, I'm looking at the Dow and the NASDAQ. The Dow is up 22. The NASDAQ is up 1. And it's been shades of this. Like 10 minutes ago, I think the Dow was up 5 and the NASDAQ was down 15. And then it kind of flipped and inverted. Everybody is waiting. Waiting on what the Federal Reserve is going to do. Now, they could come out right now with something. I could be completely off base. If I was a betting man, no change whatsoever. No change whatsoever. Not a thing moves. They can't bring themselves to do a cut right now, because inflation went up. It's been up and down for 2 months in a row. You are the Federal Reserve. You're Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve. And all you have been doing is saying, we're going to fight this thing until inflation is dead. We're talking about really, really, we're talking Jeffrey Epstein dead. World-class dead. And just like Jeffrey Epstein, inflation didn't kill itself. I did it. Jerome Powell in the library with rate increases. That's me. It's inflation clue. He can't be the guy who now says, here's a rate cut. You're welcome. But the idea that a rate cut could happen in 2024, at least one, as a gimme, I think Dr. Matt Will was the first person to bring that up to me. Economist we have on the show often from the University of Indianapolis. That has stuck with me because I think that's, I thought the statement was completely outlandish. A gimme rate cut? That is not data-driven. I only want things that are data-driven. But it might happen as a way of trying to get people to feel like better things can happen down the line. So it's possible. I just can't see it right now. If I was going to see a rate cut, I would assume it would happen closer to the election. Because Jerome Powell may have been fighting Joe Biden up and down the line on everything when it comes to spending. Might have been a lot of fighting. But am I to believe that if there was to be a rate cut, that it wouldn't be coordinated to provide a maximum effect for Biden, who is losing on the economic conversation in a large and sincere way? We're not children. We know that's exactly how it would go down. 100%. So that's where we are. We're looking to see what comes next. We're looking to see what happens with these numbers. And that's supposed to come out to, I'm staring at it right now, guys. I'm staring at it right now. See, now the NASDAQ has gone negative, but not enough to count. It's all just waiting and floating. And while that's happening, you know, Jared Bernstein, White House economic advisors, they're making excuses for why prices are higher.
Well, I watch the gap. One of the first clicks I do when I get up in the morning, which probably isn't a sign of a healthy person, is precisely on this gas price. So I track this very closely. And I think perhaps more importantly at CEA, we're always looking at the underlying factors to get to your question. So one part of this is seasonality. In this time of the year, there's a switch from the winter to the summer blend. That puts some upward pressure on price. We had a big refinery come offline in Indiana. It's going back online, so that should provide some relief. And, of course, the conflict in the Middle East has raised the price of a barrel of oil by a bit north of $10 a barrel. And so all of those factors are coming into play here. And
but but gas prices had come down a little bit. And it's true. West Texas Intermediate is at $81 a barrel. Brent crude's at $85. Both of those prices are down today. You're going to blame things on the war? Well, it'd be great if you said, you know what, gas prices are high, and that's why the administration is calling on Hamas to surrender. I'll take whatever I can get. But people aren't looking at gas prices as their biggest issue right now. They're not. Eggs are the issue. And you can't blame egg prices on the war in the Middle East. On what's going on in Ukraine. We will follow these numbers. When the cut happens, when the cut doesn't happen, I'll let you know. I'm Tony Katz. Here's where I need the help. I'm heading out tomorrow evening, to Vegas. I've got a convention. It's a cigar convention. That's right. I am there to smoke cigars and talk to people about smoking cigars. My life is difficult. Tony Katz, Tony Katz today. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Here's the question. I have the hotel. I booked the hotel via Priceline. I find Priceline easy. I use it constantly. Constantly use Priceline. Today I noticed that the room is $55 less than when I booked it. $55. I want to cancel my reservation and get a new one. Nope. I'm now within the window. So I'll be charged for the first day. And so the whole thing doesn't seem to make any sense. I've never had this issue with Priceline. It just hasn't come up. So I want to know if you have. Is there someone you can call? I mean, William Shatner's not with them anymore. And I don't know if Kelly Cuoco actually picks up the phone herself. The question is there somebody you can call? Be like, hey, how do I save $55 times, I think I've got a couple people who are part of the team there. Three rooms, three nights. You want to do that math? That math comes out to $5 trillion. I want to know how I can do this. How can I, you know, get this going? So I need to know who I reach out to, because I don't think, I mean, is there even a phone number that you can do? I mean, is there someone to actually call over a Priceline? Oh, and by the way, in case you're wondering, why, yes, I am VIP status. Thank you. VIP gold, not just a VIP member. Oh, no. I'm not like you heathens. VIP Blue? Chumps is what we call them. Now I'm VIP Gold. The only thing above that is VIP Platinum. But those people hate their wives. And since I like my wife, I'll stay VIP Gold. Thank you. Those people travel on purpose. Oh, it's another trip. I got to take it. Yeah, yeah. I'll be sure to bring you back something from the gift shop. All right. Yeah. Have I left yet? I need to go feel something other than rage. I don't know. There's some bad marriages out there, and I feel bad for those people. So if you know, let me know. I'm looking for how to get this done. If I can, I would very much like to. People upset with Donald Trump? If you're Jewish and you vote for Biden, you hate Israel? We'll go over what it is he said and where some of these real issues are, including with Chuck Schumer and that despicable speech calling for elections, which is siding with Hamas, and I'll explain why. And he heads over to have a conversation with a group of presidents of some of the big Jewish organizations to make his case. And they're like, you said what you said. Why is it so strange to say certain things out loud? And how does one handle this concept of what they call dual loyalty? I don't know if you're Jewish or not, but isn't it better if Israel exists than doesn't? If the choice is Israel or the choice is Hamas terrorists, aren't you better with Israel? Aren't we all? And considering that Israel could create peace with whatever Gaza becomes, and Hamas will never allow for peace with Israel, isn't the answer self-explanatory? Yet look at all the people who want to tell you about Israel this and Israel that, and how I support genocide. Oh, holy hell. I will break that down. Oh, and honestly, any help on the Priceline thing, that'd be great. That would be great. Tony at TonyKatz.com, on the X at Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.